010.
America tonight, the name of the show. Your chance to throw in your two cents, left, right, or anywhere in between. Doesn't matter what label you wear, if any, you're invited to be part of the conversation as we cruise through the next 4 hours. So let me throw out the digits right from the get-go before we dive deep into some pretty heady stuff. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. Or if you're one of the third shifters making the donuts, cruising the streets as maybe a cop. I know a lot of police officers listen to us across the United States. Or you're serving, thank you very much, somewhere far, far away. You can always flip me an email at americatonight.net. Speaking of far, far away, Al-Shabaab might be a bigger threat than originally thought, not just in Somalia. This is based on some of the things that happened recently, especially with the two separate bomb blasts in Uganda, the innocent people who lost their lives simply watching the World Cup soccer match, the final. So we're going to talk with Jeff Atticott in another 25 minutes or so, our terrorism expert here on ATN, about that and Guantanamo, the military commissions, and trying Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and the four others, what the big question mark is and what he thinks will happen in the near future. But before we get to that, BP, Big Punks, what is the latest with the oil spill? You know, we can't help but be drawn to this right from the get-go. And the reason why is because it's the thing that's playing out every single day in our lives. I mean, everywhere you turn, there's so many people being affected by this. That's the big concern here on America Tonight. And I know a lot of you are concerned about it for different reasons, whether it's the crazy moratorium on deep water drilling, which has been the worst tug of war. You have two separate courts saying, no, you can't do that. And then you have the Interior Department on Monday saying, oh, you want to make a bet? So now that ban is in effect until November, unless there's some kind of challenge on the other side, which there will be. But I don't think it's going to be lifted. I think you're talking about November. So thousands and thousands of people are now duly affected by those 30-plus platforms not operating in those deep waters. So on to what's going on with BP and this blowout well. They've got an underwater robot, you know that, a couple of them actually. They secured, we told you this in our last show, that tight-fitting cap on top of the leaking well, but they need more analysis on some of the tests so they can determine if the cap will stop the oil that's been spewing since April 20th. We're in day 85 heading into day 86. And by now we know all of the disastrous spots that have been hit so far by the oil spill, like the wetlands, where it'll stay there and seep in, and, you know, we're 30 miles deep into the wetlands in Louisiana, and it's not going to get, the surface cleaning is not going to get it all up. In some of the beaches, it's going to be the very same thing. So it's the birds, it's nature, it's the marine life, and the people who make their livelihood in the spots that have been affected by this spill so far. So fingers crossed we're not rooting against BP, because naturally, no matter what your stripes are, you certainly want to see this thing sealed off. Now, the moratorium, some of you disagree with me, some of you agree. I got a lot of email on the latest ban, including, I'm just going to read one right here from the get-go. And this is from Mel, who listens to us in Vermont. He says, hello, America Tonight. Kate, I have to say, you sound like a pretty classy lady, but you're flat out dumb when it comes to oil drilling. As somebody who was raised on the East Coast, how could you possibly support deep water drilling in light of what's happened, especially with British Petroleum and this nonsense with the Deepwater Horizon? I can't understand that philosophy. Screw the economy in Louisiana if it's all based on oil. It's dirty oil, and it's a dirty game. You need to change your mind on this one. Ooh, that was pretty pointed. I invite all comments. I disagree heartily. And the reason I disagree is because of some of the tests that have been done on the other platforms and following the regulations. Why should they be penalized for the idiots on the Deepwater Horizon platform that blew up and sank because of their lack of the right kind of infrastructure and the design they used in the first place to put it together? Now, I can't look into a crystal ball and say, I can tell you 99% sure that nothing will happen on any of the other platforms. Of course I can't, which is the argument of the government, the argument of the Obama administration, and especially Ken Salazar, who says, listen, we need to know that there are better regulations in place. And I call foul on that because it should have happened before anyway. And there were safety checks done on the other rigs. And if they're lax, then that's the government's fault. So who is going to pay the price for all the lives who are damaged because of what BP did? Specifically, those who had nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. And the analogy, as the first judge who denied it, who lifted the ban on the moratorium for deep water drilling, I agree with what he said. You could take it to the most extreme examples on other kinds of accidents, whether it's a plane crash or a train derailment. We certainly have had those across the country because somebody's texting in Washington, D.C. or in Los Angeles. Well, what if you said, well, our safety regulations simply are not tight enough, so we're going to close down all trains, all transportation for a couple of months. Now, I know it's apples and oranges in a sense. And the deep water drilling, let's face it, folks, that was allowed by the government in the first place. It could have been stopped originally. But the idea was, no, we want the money. Let them find oil, and that's okay. If it's 5,000 feet down, and it shouldn't really be 5,000 feet down, at least you get the eyesores off the coastline. We don't have to live with the protests from the environmentalists so much because they're not really seeing it, even if they know they're out there and they're aware of it. It's when it's in your face. It's when you're driving down the coast at Santa Barbara or in Santa Barbara, and you look over, and you can see the platforms. So there were many, many dominoes that fell before, and it's not fair to Louisiana, to Mississippi, to Alabama, but especially Louisiana, because they are hit the hardest by this. And you can tell because each day, I swear, Bobby Jindal, the governor of Louisiana, who's already a thin man, looks like he's lost yet another pound. All he's doing is trying to fight for the people there, and he agrees the moratorium is a very big mistake. Also, because we know our history with this administration and particularly with this department, what is going to be so different from July to November that's going to ensure the safety with the other platforms who are going to go ahead and do deep water drilling eventually? We think anyway, unless they completely pull up all the operations, right? Coming up on the flip side, other things are shaking around the planet and closer to home in our own backyard, and we're going to jump to them next.
So, you're rolling your own, eh? Me too. And you better keep rolling with the best, rollingpapers.com. The best site on the web with over 1,500 products. Whether hemp, rice, flax, or pulp, we've got your rolling papers. For store owners, rollingpapers.com has wholesale pricing and display boxes. Papers, tubes, filters, rolling machines in hundreds of brands, sizes, and styles. Hey, try the new Big Bag brand available at rollingpapers.com. We are centrally located located and quickly packaged and shipped daily to anywhere in the world. Adult consumers can buy one individually to sample or, for the best prices, select any of the wholesale displays available direct from the pros at rollingpapers.com. No minimum purchase required and a friendly, helpful staff. You won't believe the selection and great pricing at rollingpapers.com. Retail, wholesale, import, and export. Keep rolling your own with rollingpapers.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website,
yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms
and not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of sinusitis. SinoFresh.
Now, here's your limited-time discount offer to use SinoFresh.
Call 888-906-3636 right now for $2 off per bottle when you mention GCN. That's it. Just call 888-906-3636 and mention GCN for a $2 discount.
But hurry, this offer is only for the first 1,000 customers.
Call 888-906-3636. 888-906-3636. Call right now for $2 off per bottle.
Mention GCN.
Buy SinoFresh.com. It works.
His boy standing on a corner, somebody please in a helping hand. I'm just
coming up here on ATN as we go global, the French take a stand on the burqa. But before we get to that, got to mention this. The boss, George Steinbrenner, dead at the age of 80. He was certainly a living legend, and all of the championships that were amassed during Steinbrenner's reign, just incredible. And I can tell you, I've heard so many, as somebody who covered the Yankees, I heard so many George stories that were positive and negative. And one thing about Steinbrenner, I don't think he really cared what people thought about him. He was demanding. He was vilified at times, certainly legendary. And he turned 80 on the 4th of July, and he passed away. And he was in Tampa. It was a hot, hot day. Steinbrenner was in his air-conditioned suite like normal. They even threw up the happy 80th birthday. That was the last time he was in public. And then he died Tuesday of a massive heart attack. So, like I said, he was famous for tirades, toughness. But a lot of friends would tell you he had a really warm side that maybe some people weren't aware of. One of those would be the former mayor of New York, who's a huge Yankee fan and a big Steinbrenner fan as well. Here's what Rudy Giuliani said about Steinbrenner and his recognition of the city of New York.
George understood what New York City was, what it meant, that it was the, I regard it as the capital of the world. I think George regarded it as the capital of the world.
And it seemed like the capital of the world when Steinbrenner was there because of how competitive the Yankees were. And you think of how much money Steinbrenner paid. When you talk about free agency and baseball, in 74, Steinbrenner paid $3.75 million to hire Catfish Hunter for a five-year contract. In 77, it was even bigger than that to get Reggie Jackson. And if we fast forward it even further down the line, if you went to 2004, the Yankees' payroll, $187.9 million. It was the highest in baseball, but that team, for all the wins, is estimated to be worth $1.6 billion. So, wow. And it seemed like he was never going to let go of the team, never. And finally he did just a couple of years ago. So it was an odd relationship that Steinbrenner had with some of his players and managers and whatnot, but he was absolutely the boss. Speaking of the boss, Nicolas Sarkozy is the boss when it comes to France, and he's not afraid to take on the critics with this burqa deal. I know this is a hard right turn here, but there's been so much criticism leveled at Sarkozy and the parliament for what they're trying to do. So the French lower house of parliament approved a ban on wearing burqa-style Islamic veils. They're trying to, they say, protect the French values, which don't match up with the idea of women having equality, that this is servitude and degrading. And even with a population of 5 million Muslims, the largest in Europe, Sarkozy's not afraid to tackle this, saying, I'll shake off people who think I'm xenophobic and think I'm just trying to get some of that far right wing voter action in France. But I say bravo to Sarkozy for sticking by in a tough, tough fight over the burqa. Now, this is in French, but here's what it actually, when we play little snippets from Congress, here's what it sounded like in the House of Parliament.
Majorité absolue 169 pour 335 contre 1. L'Assemblée a adopté. Madame le ministre.
Can you imagine if they did that in the United States? Ooh, you think the illegal immigration thing is a hotbed? Oh, man, it'd be a nasty showdown. We're already having this problem in some of the courts with testimony when there was somebody recently where she was wearing a burqa, could only see her eyes, and the other lawyer said, listen, I can't even tell what's going on. This isn't fair. And they went back and forth over the whole idea that she shouldn't be able to wear any kind of head guard because you couldn't, tell a reaction. Now, Spain and Belgium are also paying close attention, as both of those countries feel the same way the French do, and they might try to ban burqas too for the same reason, the degrading of women. They feel the same thing. But this is interesting. You now have the lower house of parliament approving this. It still has another step to go. The main body has to, the Senate, in other words, has to also say thumbs up for this to stick, but they think that's going to happen. And even the people that are representing French Muslims don't think it's suitable for France to wear, for the women to wear the burqa. But the fallout around the country will be interesting to watch, if it's going to be negative or just kind of neutral. But I think it's going to be negative. I think there's going to be a big reaction to the banning of the burqa. So not officially banned, but a giant step forward where it looks like it's inevitable. Fair or foul? I mean, here you get into religious territory. And if this is part of the Islamic tradition and the religion, is it fair to ask the women not to wear the burqas because of the offensiveness to the people in France or Spain or Belgium? And here in the United States, I see every day people with burqas on. And in your neck of the woods, you may see the same thing. Like I said, in our country, that would cause an outrage, and then we would get into all kinds of other things, which we have lots of flaps over different things that people wear. Like in schools, what are considered to be gang signals and stuff. But in this case, you're focusing on a religious belief, and that's why it would not even be an issue in America. In France, Sarkozy says, no way, degrades women, won't have it here. You can have it in America and everywhere else, but we will not tolerate it. And when he first came up with that, because he was the one who proposed it, boy, he was met with a lot of flap. I mean, a lot of flap. But it looks like he survived that, and we'll see if it gets all the way through to the Senate. We come back closer to home to talk about nukes for a second. And there's a government document that's showing that the Obama administration wants to cut the U.S. nuclear stockpile by up to 40% in 2021. The Energy Department provided details of the reductions that the president, remember this happened probably 4 or 5 weeks ago, has called on for a path to eliminating nuclear weapons. The reductions continue a trajectory of cuts that's already reduced the stockpiles by about 75% since 1989. And in May, remember they released the number, they said the United States has 5,113 nuclear warheads to be exact. And this new document is saying that the current administration would like to reduce the number to about 3,000 to 3,500. This was the document that was sent to Congress or presented to Congress a couple of months ago and posted on a couple of different websites, including the Federation of American Scientists and the Union of Concerned Scientists. So this is the thing. No jobs, no defense. I'm just saying, you can make the argument, well, if you have 1,000 warheads, what's the difference? Because isn't that enough to fight off anything that could possibly happen? I mean, do we really need to have that many? Does this make us vulnerable and weak? And to that answer, I would say, whether you like nukes or not, which I'm assuming none of us like nukes, none of us want to be annihilated by nukes. But saying that and using the word annihilation, they've acted as a deterrent to that total mushroom cloud that we are fearful of happening. It's, remember, this is still out there. It hasn't completely gone away. Speaking of terrorism, we're going to talk to Jeff Atticott next, round the bend, here on ATN.
Protect your freedoms and be independent by learning how to maintain, repair, and customize your own firearms through these exclusive video training courses on DVD from the American Gunsmithing Institute. Call and get a free 2-hour sampler DVD video and catalog. See just how quickly and easily you can learn firearm disassembly and reassembly, accurizing, customizing, super tuning, refinishing, trigger repair, and much, much more for rifles, pistols, and shotguns. Courses available for both the hobbyist and the professional. You can even get certified as a gunsmith to make money part-time, full-time, or as a retirement income doing what you love. Call 1-800-247-5032 to order your free sampler DVD and catalog. That's 1-800-247-5032. Call now and get a bonus $10 saving coupon. 1-800-247-5032 or go to AmericanGunsmithDVD.com. Learn how. Learn now with AmericanGunsmithDVD.com, your source for how-to gunsmithing videos.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
And I think it really does make a difference.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Genesis. What started as an idea to provide power for a small hunting cabin has grown into a passion for creating an alternative energy source that's both affordable and reliable. At Wind Blue Power, our goal is to provide you with the best selection of parts and accessories to power your own ideas. Whether you're building a wind generator from scratch or you prefer a complete bolt-together kit, we've got you covered with fast worldwide shipping and impeccable customer service. Visit us at windbluepower.com. Think green. Go blue at Wind Blue Power.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653, or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
By Somalia militants tied to Al-Qaeda, I think symbols something even bigger. This is yet another violent group to fear, maybe, since the weekend bomb attack that killed 74 people, including one American, and injuring several others, other Americans, is the first time that this group claimed responsibility for an operation beyond the Somalia border. Very worrisome, my friends, if you're keeping score at home. Always great to catch up with terrorism expert Jeff Atticott here on America Tonight to get his take. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing great, Kate.
Let's talk about the Somalia militants and how long they've been around and what you know about them.
Yeah, the movement's called Al-Shabaab, and they have been around for quite some time. They really kind of gave birth to themselves, I guess, if you will, in the 90s, early 90s. They officially linked up with Al-Qaeda about a year and a half ago with a formal declaration of affiliation. And Osama bin Laden has endorsed them as essentially his arm in Somalia and throughout other parts of Africa, actually. So this group is also heavily financed. You know, the Somali pirates have links to Al-Shabaab. And so they have a lot of money in their coffers. because the world community refuses to do anything about Somali pirates that ransom ships for millions of dollars in goods and cash. And so it's a steady flow of income. Their immediate goal is to overthrow the Muslim government that's now in place in Somalia. If you can call it a government, it's still kind of a very lawless, failed state. But they want to replace it with a Al-Qaeda Taliban-style radical Islamic regime. That's their ultimate goal. And as you know, Al-Shabaab has large support here in the United States. Of all places, one of their hotbeds is in Minnesota.
And why is that? I mean, how do the tentacles reach that far? Because supposedly there's like 7,000 armed guys, and they have a main, what they call a main group of fighters, somewhere in the 3,000 number. So why Al-Shabaab and the ties to Minnesota?
There's a very large Somali community, believe it or not, in Minnesota. And the FBI, about a year ago, indicated that around a dozen young U.S. citizens that their parents came from Somalia went missing, and they have U.S. passports. And we discovered that a large number of them showed up in Somalia. Some of them even were killed in suicide attacks. They went back to join the jihad. The fear is that these people, you know, can use their passports, and they might turn their terrorism on the United States and not just the jihad in Africa.
Yeah. You know, it's also, when you're talking about Minnesota and what happened there, I think it's very scary what's happening in general with American-born people who are, I'll call it, for lack of a better word, you could probably describe it better, becoming radicalized or part of the movement, or decide that they're going to try to chip in like the Jihad Janes and whatnot. I mean, how widespread do you think this is?
Well, it's not as widespread as it is in Europe, but it's growing. I mean, this phenomenon is driven by religion, and that's the hardest thing to try to pigeonhole, because a lot of people say, well, you know, the terrorists are caused by poverty and capitalism and all the other nonsense. No, it's a religious ideology, and it crosses all lines. We have rich individuals that have a lot of money, like this fellow underwear bomber Ali Muttalib. His father's a multimillionaire. And the 9/11 hijackers, of course, they weren't U.S. citizens, but we've got a large number of people here in this country. On my count, is over 315 have been prosecuted since 9/11. And these folks aren't Al-Qaeda mainline, but they're certainly infected with the virus of radical jihad. So it's a religious movement that through the Internet, through the mosque, is actually growing in strength.
Yeah, let me ask you about something else that we talked about the other day on America Tonight. This stuff with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and the four others and what to do, where to try them for the 9/11 crimes, whether it's going to be New York, although it seems like New York is now out of the picture. You have the Attorney General Eric Holder saying, well, I'm not sure they can even get the death penalty now, even if it is a military commission. So that's why we went for the civilian court. Are you buying that? Is that true?
No. Holder is extremely disoriented / incompetent. He was the one that made the decision in November and said, you know, I've got 10 enemy combatants. I'm going to send five of them to the federal district court. And he did, you know, the most outrageous thing I've ever seen as an attorney. He got on TV in November and said, yeah, they're going to get the death penalty. I mean, you're supposed to be neutral and detached as the attorney general. You're not supposed to prejudge people. You're not supposed to make pronouncements that they're going to get the death penalty. And then, of course, the American people screamed so loudly that the administration realized that this was not very smart. And now we're, you know, 8 months later, they still don't know what to do with these people, still have not made a decision. And kind of underneath the radar screen, last week we had our first military commission under Obama that convicted an individual by the name of Cosey down in Guantanamo Bay. That didn't make really much headlines in the news. But Obama had stopped military commissions in January 2009. Then in June of 2009, he said, well, I might restart them because that's kind of a dumb thing to do. And then we now have our first conviction. He's going to be sentenced in about 2 months, but he's an Al-Qaeda member, has been convicted of material support to Al-Qaeda. And that's really the tool that you need to use, in my opinion, is military commissions. These are enemy combatants. That's the perfect tool. If Obama hadn't meddled with this military commission process, we would already have Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and dozens of these other people already convicted.
Yeah. The Gitmo situation, do you, because once again, if there is any movement anyway, Congress has to approve it, the funding for the whole thing. Do you think during the rest of this first run for Obama, his first administration, that there's no way Gitmo closes?
Well, I don't think he's going to have a second administration if he keeps going the way he is. And you know, Gitmo shouldn't be closed. I mean, the only reason we should close it is if we're apologizing for something. And the hypocrisy of this administration, they're not putting them in Gitmo, but they're stacking them and racking them in Bagram Air Force Base, and nobody seems to care. They don't demonize Bagram as they demonized Gitmo during the Bush years, and yet that's where we're storing a lot of al-Qaeda combatants. The Obama administration has refused them habeas if you're in Bagram before a federal judge, and it's clearly a double standard the way that they're dealing with some al-Qaeda here, some al-Qaeda there, some are going to federal court, some of them are getting Mirandized, some of them aren't. I mean, it's the most schizophrenic policy one could ever imagine.
I like the way you said it's schizophrenic. I agree with you, too, by the way, on Obama, the way he's going. I don't see a second term either. And Gitmo, absolutely, all the money that was spent to put up Gitmo, why was that can of worms even opened in the first place? And you hit it head on. What would we be apologizing for? It's absolutely, you know, ludicrous, ridiculous, what we've seen happen here in the last couple of years. And even to the terminology thing, that came up again, because now you have a switch with Petraeus from McChrystal after the debacle there for McChrystal and Rolling Stone magazine and his aides. Now that you have Petraeus back in Afghanistan, what do you think happens there, Jeff? How much longer do you think we continue in Afghanistan? And what about Pakistan? What about going into Pakistan? I think that's the real hornet's nest.
Yeah, I mean, President Obama had two hand-picked generals that he put in charge of Afghanistan. The first one, as you recall, was McKiernan, and he was fired because he, leaked to the press. He didn't go to the press, but he leaked to the press essentially that he was unhappy with the president's handling or mishandling of what was happening in Afghanistan. So he was fired. McChrystal was fired because he went to the press and essentially said the same thing, that this administration is essentially operating in a very dysfunctional manner in Afghanistan. So now they went back to a Bush general, which is kind of interesting. Remember General Petraeus, that the far left categorized him, the hero of Iraq, and now, of course, he's expected to achieve the impossible in Afghanistan. No one can solve the problem in Afghanistan under the Obama administration's philosophy of victory, which is nothing. They don't have, they can't define what victory is. All they tell us is that we're going to take and hold ground in Afghanistan and, crush the Taliban and then leave. No one really believes that the second that we leave, that the Taliban won't come roaring back as they always have. You're not going to crush the Taliban. They make up half of the population, essentially, of Afghanistan. It's absurd. And we now have a gigantic footprint, thanks to the president. We can't slip out the back door and say, well, we weren't driven out. We just kind of left. Now we've got 100,000 coalition troops in there by this summer. And so we've raised the ante, and the narrative, as you know, is going to be when we start to leave, we drove you out. And if that's the narrative and the world adopts that narrative, the bad guys, their ranks will swell by 100,000, by 200,000, because they're going to say we drove the Soviets out and we drove you out. And we can't allow that. There is no substitute for military victory, and yet there's no definition of victory. We're simply, you know, feeding troops in as we did in Vietnam. It's almost a parallel with the disastrous policies in Vietnam all over again.
Yeah, no end game. Hey, we don't have much time left, but we catch up with you when you're all over the place giving talks and whatnot. And, of course, you're at St. Mary's in San Antonio. But you speak to the FBI. You're at the FBI Academy a couple times a year. What are you doing there?
Well, I'm invited back from time to time to address some of the senior leadership courses there at the FBI Academy in Quantico. I try to take some of my law students with me when I go out there to expose them to, you know, what our country is doing. And we discuss terrorism issues and from A to Z, how do you deal with them? How do you handle them? Profiling issues, wiretapping issues, what you can and can't do. So it's a great opportunity, to go out and discuss with people that are on the front lines that are fighting these people day in and day out, and to add my humble opinions, if you will, about the best ways to do that in a legal manner.
Yeah, what a great opportunity for those students, too, I bet.
You know, they do. In fact, some of them get to join up as FBI agents. Later on, they decide they like it so much they want to be an agent.
There you go. It's a great field trip. All right, Jeff, always a pleasure to catch up with you. Jeff Atticott, terrorism expert, of course, here on ATN.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Now you can purify the water and filter the air in your entire house for less. Keep listening for discount information from airandaqua.com. Airandaqua.com has everything from whole house air and water purification systems to air conditioners, shower filters, water testing kits, atmospheric water generators, and much more to keep you and your family healthy. Now, airandaqua.com has developed two value-packed money-saving packages. Package 1, the Pure Whole Home Water Package. It includes three very important elements to purify the water in your whole house. Package 2, the Whole Home Air Package, with an ultraviolet light system that kills 99.9% of airborne bacteria and viruses. Get more details on both of these air and water filter packages at airandaqua.com or call 866-380-AQUA. That's 866-380-2782. GCN listeners use promo code GCN for an 8% discount. Go to airandaqua.com. That's airandaqua.com. Purify your life today.
Is there a favorite radio station or show that you just love and can't stand to miss? Then you need Replay AV. With Replay AV, you can set up your PC to record your favorite radio shows, podcasts, XM and Sirius radio feeds, even streaming video automatically. More than one favorite? No problem. Replay AV can simultaneously record multiple shows and stations. You never have to miss any of your favorite programs again. Replay AV comes with a built-in media guide to make it easy to find your favorites and a convert for playback in any of the popular formats, or burn to CD or DVD. With Replay AV's easy recording wizard, you'll be set up to record quickly. And Replay AV comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Try it, then buy it at replayav.com. GCN listeners save $10 off the retail price by going to replayav.com or click on the Replay AV banner on gcnlive.com. Visit replayav.com. Stream it, record it, keep it with Replay AV.
About Al-Shabaab, which has to do with Somalia and how dangerous that group has become. Let's move to this thing that's been brewing in New York for a while, and it's a mosque being built near Ground Zero. At first, there wasn't a lot of attention on this, and the story started to eke out, and it got more legs, and then more people who were incensed by this started to express themselves. Well, this is what's happened. Dozens of opponents and then some supporters, too, showed up for what I heard was an incredibly jam-packed meeting to talk about this. And the part of the problem is all of the nonsense that's gone on at the site where the two towers went down in New York near the financial district, as all of you know certainly by now. What they're talking about And what they talked about on Tuesday is whether the building where the Muslim piece of property would be, or place of worship, would be created regardless of how close it is to this so-called city landmark that's going to go up. Republican gubernatorial candidate Rick Lazio is trying to head up an investigation into the funding of the mosque, because where the, you know, this is, they're not, they're talking about building an incredible facility. So he wants, you know, that old adage about follow the money. Let's just check this out. He was among a group of witnesses who testified in support of doing the landmark status, which would complicate the plans by the Muslim groups to develop any kind of a community center or mosque there, because it's it would have a landmark status. They wouldn't be able to do that, really, if you look at the definition of it, if any of you know anything about building. So now, because of what happened on September 11th, you know, the debris and all the things that happened at the World Trade Center, clearly it is a place of historic significance. We certainly know that. If you go to New York and you go to Lower Manhattan, you're anywhere near there, you just see a lot of people going to see. Either they want to see because they're so heartbroken, they want to see because they're curious, they're from another country, they're from someplace else in our country, whatever. I've been down there probably 25 times since 9/11, and it's never without tourists, without people looking at it or taking pictures or whatever, or crying or not crying, or buying a souvenir around the corner, which I think is so ticky-tacky. But, of course, everybody will take advantage no matter what. No matter what's happened, where, if it's got any kind of a sellability factor, there's always someone that's going to sell pictures or other mementos of things that are even horrific. And it has become a place of significance of what happened on really the city's darkest day and on one of our country's darkest days. So they're talking about investigating the funds. And they're repeating the request over and over again to find out what's behind, you know, who's behind the money. And some people are saying, listen, this has become now a huge issue of bigotry. And the people building this mosque have nothing to do with the Cordova Initiative, with what's happened on 9/11, and the money is clean money and all that other sort of stuff. And this initiative is supposed to promote cross-cultural understanding between Islam and the West. So here's the thing. On the surface, it looks good, but it looks good from that point of view of what the Cordoba Initiative is. But we see this all the time. What looks good and then what's really underneath are two different things. I don't understand why an investigation into the background would be so awful, because if there's nothing to hide anyway, who cares? And here's why the mosque was such a bad idea, or the Cordoba Initiative was such a bad idea in the first place, because you could put it anywhere else in the city, even in that same district. But to put it on the site of the World Trade Center, where thousands of people lost their lives, where they were cowardly cut down, in some cases in the prime of their life, in an attack by extremists, by Islamist extremists, it's just wrong. What kind of message does this send? I don't understand why they think it's such a great idea to build it there. Yes, you can build the bridge to better relations and less bigotry and, okay, I'm a Muslim and I'm not like that. I have nothing to do with it. And how dare you compare me to the thugs from Saudi Arabia who did what they did? I get all that. But why there? Why there? It should just be a memorial. And this is the problem. The idiots who didn't agree and get the memorial thing going are partially to blame for this. Of course, they don't want to take any of the blame, but because they delayed over and over again building plans, approving building plans and everything else, they left themselves open for something else to be built, for somebody else to come along. It is still primo property if you just looked at it from that point of view. And I think it's a big mistake by the initiative. it invites unwanted bigotry. It invites the tearing apart of hard feelings by so many people as to what happened. And anything going up in that vicinity, no matter what it was, other than a memorial, I would be opposed to be honest, since I was somebody who was there and saw. So what happens now? If people that oppose the mosque are getting called names, are they going to get sued? You know, what happens? It's just such a bunch of nonsense. It should never have gotten this far. It should never have become such a struggle to build something there in the first place. I mean, I say it all the time. Bring us your tired, your poor, your yearning to be free. But let's make some sense of this thing. You don't have to put a mosque right in the heart of where so many people feel is almost sacred ground, because it's a burial site. They didn't pick every piece of every tooth of every body of everything they could piece together. There are remnants of people, if you want to just be descriptive about it, that are there. So a mosque at the site of the WTC, where thousands of people were murdered, makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Because some mosques, and not all to be sure, and it's not right to condemn all, but some have proven to be used for sympathizers to Al-Qaeda. We've seen that already. We were just talking about that with Jeff Atticott, and how scary it is that that's what's happened in the United States. And as he said, certainly nowhere near what's going on in Europe, but it has happened here. And you think of, in my mind, I think of the funeral processions, and I think of all those widows and all those people who had their hearts punctured when the maniacs decided to cowardly fly into the buildings and end some generations of families. So it's quite clear that you're not being a bigot by saying that, but that site and the wounds are still way, way too fresh, too raw to the American people, and certainly the people in New York City. To put the mosque there is just plain downright offensive. So I don't blame people for packing a hearing on the mosque near Ground Zero. There are other places it could be put. If the real intent is, hey, let's heal up these wounds, and let me show you what our religion is about, let me show you what you might not be getting. Okay, bravo, I get that. But boy, the choice of venue is pathetically poor.